The reading is from Numbers, chapter 11, and it's starting to read at verse 16, and then it jumps to verse 24. And it's on page 148 if you have a church Bible. The Lord said to Moses, "Bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Make them come to the tent of meeting, that they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take of the spirit that is on you and put the spirit on them. They will help you carry the burden of the people so that you will not have to carry it alone." So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 20 of their elders and made them stand round the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with him, and he took some of the spirit that was on him and put the spirit on the 70 elders. When the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. However, two men, whose names were Eldad and Medad, had remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but did not go out to the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied to the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' assistant since youth, spoke up and said, "Moses, my Lord, stop them." But Moses replied, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit on them." Then Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp.
Evening. And thanks for that reading. It's quite a chunk, isn't it? Should we just pray quickly? Father, I pray that you would speak to us this evening through the words that I've prepared and through your spirit, by your spirit, into what we hear. Amen. Now, when you take a first look at this story, it seems quite simple. God says to Moses, "Pick some deputies, bring them with you. I'm going to pour out my spirit on them so they can help you with things." The spirit comes, Moses and the deputies have a great experience with God and are transformed. Yes, Joshua slightly freaks out, but Moses replies, "Don't worry, calm down, it'll all be great." And when you look at the highlights, a little bit out of context, and without knowing what was said before or after, that all seems good. However, verse 16, where our reading starts, it starts with God responding to Moses. So we need to see this short reading, although having heard it, it's not that short. we need to see this reading in context of the wider story. So if it's okay, let me just summarize the entire chapter 11 so we can see what's going on. Now, I might go a bit fast for you if you are trying to follow it in your Bibles. Okay. But back at the start of chapter 11, some of the Israelites are complaining and moaning about the state that they're in. They've effectively rejected the manna that God is providing to them. They don't have food of their own, and God is providing food for them. But they get bored with that provision. Now, God gets upset at this rejection and sends fire from heaven to burn some of them up, because after all, this is the Old Testament. And then in verse 4, people are complaining again, despite the whole burning thing. And saying, "All we've got is this blooming manna. Why haven't we got any meat?" Now that puts Moses at the end of his tether, and he asks God, "Why have you given me all these people to look after? They're not my kids. They're driving me crazy going on about wanting meat and not wanting manna. I can't do all of this on my own," he says. "Just kill me now and save me from the hassle." So it's not really a great day in the office for him. And that's where our reading starts in verse 16. God replies to Moses by saying, and I summarize, "Okay, gather the people together Bring them to me and I'll deal with it. And then we have another bit of the story that we skip over. Sorry if there's any vegetarians in the audience here. But where God lets the people know how angry he is with them. And he says, you want meat? I'll give you meat. I'll give you meat every day. I'll give you it for a month until it's coming out of your nostrils and you're sick with it. You'll loathe it. Moses goes into a panic here. I quite like his reaction because he's dealing with the practicalities. What do you mean, God? How am I going to find meat for 600,000 men in the middle of the desert? What is going on? And God just cuts in and says, what are you saying? I can't do it? Just watch. Moses has learned by now just to keep quiet at moments like that. So that's a bit about the wider story there. And we have this brilliant extract about Moses' life. And when I look at this reading, there's two key aspects that I want to focus on and explore together. The first is Moses' relationship with God, and the second is Moses' relationship with the people. So firstly, we can see in Moses' relationship with God that there's a conversation taking place here. We see it in verse 16, where the Lord said to Moses, I'll speak to you. And in verse 17, he says, I will speak with you. And in verse 25, the Lord spoke to him. So here is the Lord God Almighty, Yahweh, coming down and speaking with Moses, being present with him and interacting with him. And it's not just here in this conversation, in this reading. There's over 150 references to the Lord speaking to Moses and Moses speaking to the Lord. So it's a conversation that develops over years and decades. Now, it strikes me that it's not just that it's a conversation, which is quite startling, but it's also how honest and real that conversation is. See, if you read all of this story, what we see is God getting really angry with the people in verse 10. And Moses gets totally fed up with them as well. There's a level of honesty there. And it all results in Moses saying in verse 15, that's it, put me to death right now. He'd rather be dead than have to look after the Israelites any longer. And when you think about it, that is a really strong reaction to have. His expression to God is not small talk. He's not asking for a parking space. He's not going through the motions. And yet, here is Moses wanting to check out. And just pause and think about that for a moment. This is Moses we're talking about. Moses who appears with Elijah and talks with Jesus during the transfiguration. And he is completely at the end of himself. Now, whether he meant literally that he wanted to die, or whether he was just so frustrated with the situation that his emotions are taking over his words, we don't really know, and it doesn't really matter. But my point here is that it's an honest relationship with God. And that's developed over time, and it's been built on trust. Time and again, Moses has put himself out there, and God has not let him down. And God has consistently been there in the highs and in the lows. And once again, in this situation, God responds to Moses' despair gracefully and with compassion. And he enables the incredible burden of leading the people of Israel to be shared with some others. Now, I don't know if any of you have felt that low, that despairing and tired of it all. Perhaps you felt like you just can't go on. You can't take any more of this. Well, if you felt like that, you're not alone. I don't know where you are with your faith and your dependence on God. Maybe your life is going really well. You've got good health, work, activity, friends. And if that's the case, it can be hard to relate to this sense of desperation that Moses is expressing here. However, I know that I felt like that at times. I felt that just everything seems to be going wrong, and everything I'm doing is falling to pieces, and my life just seems to be in free fall. And I remember going through some very dark and challenging times in the past. And I've literally collapsed in a heap on the floor and cried out that I can't take any more of it. And the great thing is that I can't help thinking that it's moments like this when we feel that we're empty and can't do any more. That's when we give God room to take over. My experience is that when we reach our limit and we move into the space where God can fully work, when we fall on our knees in front of God and cry out like Moses does, I can't take any more, I don't know what to do, that's where God says, I can take it, I do know what to do. So my encouragement to those of you who might be feeling like at this moment, might be feeling like that sense of desperation at this moment, is to hold on to God. And when you fall, because we all fall into his arms. And when you're tired and you need to rest in him. And my challenge to us all here is to consider whether we're looking back at our relationship with God and considering everything he's done for us and allowing that history to develop into a real heartfelt, honest conversation. I mean, are we really putting our trust in God and being honest about our concerns, our hopes, our fears, our pain? And I know that's easily said, but harder to do. Maybe praying a simple prayer of handing our concerns over to God is the first step. The second thing I want to look at here in this story is Moses' relationship with the people of Israel. We can see in verse 17 that the burden that Moses is carrying gets shared with some other people. Now, I absolutely fundamentally believe that human beings were made for interdependent relationships. God made Adam and Eve so they could be together, and we're at our best when we're in relationship. Relationship with other people, relationship with God. And God is, by definition, relationship. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. From the very beginning of everything. So relationship, I truly believe, is at the core of who we're meant to be as human beings. I think it's fair to say, though, that Moses' relationship with the people of Israel hasn't always been brilliant. It's been a bit up and down, and we even see it in this passage. Earlier in verse 11, he's been saying he wants nothing more to do with them. And then in verse 29, he's saying he wants God to bless them all. And Moses has this history of ups and downs with the people of Israel. Everything from them telling him to leave them alone back in Egypt, through their complaints that they were better off in Egypt, the whole golden calf saga, where Moses interjects on the people's behalf and asks God, please don't destroy them all. And we'll hear more about these stories because we're in this series at the moment on the life of Moses. So when God takes some of the spirit that is on Moses and gives his spirit to the 70 leaders of Israel, Moses is okay about it because he loves and he cares for Israel. But his assistant Joshua, he doesn't quite know what to do. I mean, this is different to how things normally work. Ever since the Israelites have had the ark and the tabernacle, the way it's worked is that God comes down on the tent of meeting in a cloud and meets with Moses, and Moses gets filled with God's spirit. Just a little bit of detail here. The tent of meeting is in the middle of this huge encampment of Israel. And by now, Israel is probably numbering close to 2 million people. And they're all camped tribe by tribe with a massive space in the middle where God settles on the tabernacle. And that way, everyone could see, to coin a phrase, when God is in the house and Moses is talking with him. Yet here, things are different. God is meeting with 70 leaders and pouring out his spirit on all of them. But it's in the middle of the camp to mark out to all of Israel and show them that these are your leaders. Now I think this is the first time God's spirit is given to multiple people at once. And although God's spirit has been present since the creation of all things. This is the first time it's been spread about a bit with God's people. And maybe you're a bit surprised to hear that God's Spirit was given here. And sometimes there can be this perception that the Holy Spirit is reserved for the book of Acts. Yet this reading shows us that God's Spirit has been active in the lives of God's people from the very beginning. And how do the... I was thinking this morning, we were praying at one point in the 10:30 service, Holy Spirit come. And we're just a little bit bought into, that's just part of our normal existence. And we've grown up with that. But actually thinking about it, that is quite a radical change in God's plan. But how do the leaders of Israel respond to this giving of the Holy Spirit? Well, they respond with this fantastic prophetic outpouring of praise for God. And as Joshua is watching this, you can imagine he's thinking, this is amazing. Here is the Spirit of God being given in the tabernacle, not just to Moses, but to all of Israel's leaders. And then he gets a tug on his sleeve, and someone tells him, there's a couple of people in the camp who are also prophesying. What do you mean, out in the camp? Yeah. But the camp isn't where this is supposed to happen. And remember, when I highlighted this earlier, when God went into the camp earlier, there was fire and burning and a bit of destruction. So you can imagine why Joshua is a little bit concerned. And it turns out that the two people who are prophesying should also have been at the leaders' meeting with the rest of the 70. But for some reason, they missed it. Now, we don't know why they missed it and got named and famed by the incident. Whether they didn't get the email or see the notices, it doesn't matter. Because God didn't make a distinction. He still poured out his Spirit on them. And they're having the same experience as the other leaders. You could even say they're having a better experience, because whereas the 70 prophesied for a short while, the two in the camp seem to keep on going. Now, Joshua doesn't understand it or know what to do about it, and he's a bit panicked by it, which personally I think is quite understandable. So he does what many of us would do, and he tries to manage it. And he tells Moses, look, let's make them stop. Let's calm it down. And here, right here in this part of the story, I think Moses reveals the depth of his love and passion for the people of Israel. Because despite everything that Moses has been through with the Israelites, his heart is for the people of God to have the same relationship that he has with God, the same dependent, grace-filled relationship. He doesn't want that experience to be isolated just to himself or his family. He's not selfish about it. Moses' heart is for all the people of Israel to experience the same state of relationship with God that he's experiencing. He wants the entire nation to be prophesying, all 2 million of them. He doesn't want to keep it back for a select few. No, Moses wants every single one of the people of Israel to be blessed and to have that transformative presence of God's Spirit in their lives, if possible. He wants them all to be in the center circle. And that is exactly what God wants. God wants to be at the heart of a deep, transformative relationship with his people. If you look at this from Leviticus 26, he says, I will put my dwelling place among you. I will not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. Here is God saying, I will walk among you and be your God. And Moses knows that, and he wants the same thing for his people. As I read this story, I was struck by Moses' desire for all of Israel to have a deep relationship with God, and how that is exactly the same with God. God's deep desire is to be in relation with us. And that's why he sent Jesus Christ, his son, to die for us, to ensure that whether we're in the center of the camp or on the edges of the camp, we're all filled with his transformative presence. God gave his Spirit to the 70 to bless them. and to enable them to lead the people in their relationship with him. But that is just a foretaste of God giving each one of us who know and love Jesus his Holy Spirit, so that we might bless the people around us and lead them into a deeper relationship with him. And I just want to finish by speaking specifically to the people who might be feeling that they've missed the opportunity, they've missed the notice, or they didn't get the email. And I want to say to those of you who might be feeling like you've missed out on that chance to be with God in some way, that it's simply not true. In this story, God gave to the 70 he had chosen, but right here, right now, God wants to give to everyone who has chosen to hand their life over to him. It's not too late for you, it's not too late for Simon, it's not too late for me, it's not too late for all of us. He wants to give his good gifts to all of us. He really does want to give his power to the people, and we are his people. So should we just pray? Father, we hand over our concerns, the things that trouble us. Would you help us to trust you? Would you help us to know you have chosen us and given us your Spirit as a means to bless those around us? Father, would you comfort us when we feel alone on the outside? And would you help us to bring those on the outside closer to you in our words, our thoughts, and our actions? We thank you that your Holy Spirit is with us, each and every one of us, here, now, each and every day. Amen.